Speaker!
Order! Order! The House will come to order straight away. Order!
The House this week continued to be haunted by the ghosts of disasters past. In the chamber, the Prime Minister had to defend comments about the Pike River coal mine disaster that he had made while in Australia. And in the committee rooms, his Minister in charge of earthquake recovery, Gerry Brownlee, was being quizzed on why it was taking so long to give Christchurch residents some certainty about their future.
In the end, it's fundamentally unfair for people. And I've taken a position that, you just can't win here. And it might do us some political damage, but I can't sleep at night if we make a decision for a political reason that ultimately costs people and costs people against what has been often a lifetime of accumulation of equity.
Mr. Brownlee gave the suburb of Kaiapoi as an example of the problems being faced when he addressed the Finance and Expenditure Committee on Wednesday.
There was a suspicion that some parts of Kaiapoi will have shifted again. Now, to commit to a remediation program that may eventually have no effect, I think would be irresponsible. And it would be unfair to people to try and convince them that that might work.
Later on Wednesday, Mr. Brownlee's leader was being questioned in the chamber about his comments to the Australian newspaper about the Pike River coal mine. Mr. Key said his remarks were not about safety in the mine, but about its construction.
What is true is that the Pike River mine couldn't have been constructed in that way in Australia. The single-entry 2.4-kilometre upward-sloping mine shaft, I don't believe, is legal in Australia. And so from New Zealand's point of view, we have to ensure we have the world's best practice.
Mr. Key then took a question from Labor's deputy leader, Annette King.
Why did he criticise a union delegate for talking about the safety of Pike River mine before the Royal Commission, but he felt able to answer a question by an Australian media person about mines and mine safety in New Zealand?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, because if I had done that and talked about mine safety, I would be being hypocritical, but I didn't. I talked about the construction of the mine and the differences between New Zealand and Australia.
There were more questions on Wednesday about safety in mines for the Minister of Labour, Kate Wilkinson, from the Greens, Kevin Haigh.
In the light of the Pike River mine disaster, does she agree with the reassurance of the Honourable Max Bradford in 1998 that changes to the mines inspectorate would not downgrade mine safety, or with Mr. Peter Ewan, the author of the book Strongman, Three Score and More, who says, the wisdom of the inspectorate changes in 1998 has been questioned by numerous parties, and unfortunately it will only be a matter of when, not if, several pay with their lives, given the ill-considered changes to the inspector's role. Ministerial condolences that will follow will be of small comfort to the bereaved.
Kevin Haigh's request to table the page containing that quote was blocked by the government. Meanwhile, opposition leader Phil Goff copped an earful from the Speaker when he tried to table some newspaper clippings.
You would not normally allow that, but I ask you to consider allowing it on this occasion, since the Prime Minister's standard answer is to reject the facts that he claims are wrong in what I've been saying to him.
Well, order. One of the reasons why we don't do that is the information is readily available to all the House, and what's more, what's printed in the media may be no more fact than anything else. In all my 27 years experience in this place, it's extremely unlikely to be fact if it's been printed in the media, and that is one reason why we don't actually table recent newspaper clippings.
The Speaker had even less time for Mr. Gough's finance spokesman after David Cunliffe defended his description of the government's plan to sell shares in energy companies as privatisation.
Mr. Speaker, can the Acting Minister tell the House how much he expects that middlemen and ticket clippers would cost the taxpayer if his privatisation agenda went ahead, given that in the Contact Energy sale alone, $32 million of taxpayers' money was spent in fees to consultants and bankers.
Lockwood Smith then ruled that the opposition should refrain from using a word like privatisation in their questions, drawing this observation from Mr. Cunliffe.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. This may assist your reflection on an earlier ruling in relation to the use of the word privatisation and whether it was an emotive term. Mr. Speaker, this document
order.
I seek leave
order.
To table.
No, order. I don't need that lecture from the member. He'll resume his seat.
After passing its broadband bill and getting money for the Canterbury Earthquake Recovery Authority in an amendment to the Supplementary Estimates Bill and spending money for itself in the first Impress Supply Bill for the new financial year, the government's taking a week off, back on Tuesday, July the 5th, when Parliament resumes at 2 p.m. with question time. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.